Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday at the men's group, the topic of the lessons for today came up, and someone asked if I was going to talk about divorce. With the readings today, that would certainly be an opportunity, because today we have so many people who are divorced. We have a generation of children and young adults who've been raised by single parents. And related to that, one could also speak about living together without being married. Someone asked me, so does that mean divorce is okay? So how do you answer that question as a Christian? Well, I'm not going to talk about divorce, or I'm not going to talk about living together. And there's a simple reason for that. If I chose those topics, then that would become a topical sermon, and the problem with topical sermons is that they become very moralistic, very judgmental. Those kinds of sermons can do a lot more harm than good because they can leave people feeling guilty, feeling unforgiven, feeling like God would never be able to forgive them. Society, and perhaps even especially Christians, have judged that some sins are somehow greater than others. Somehow they have concluded that some sins deserve condemnation than others. But that's not true. God sees sin as sin, and let me give an example to see if I can explain how that works. Consider that over here is heaven, and over here is earth, and there's this deep chasm in between. Along comes a man like Idi Amin, approaching the end of his life. And with his head held high, acting very proud, he falls into the chasm with the first step. Now comes another person, Sister Teresa, who helped all of those people in India. She did so much ministering to the poor and the people who are part of the masses that lived in poverty. And as she comes along, she does this graceful leap. And she crosses over and actually grabs a hold of the grass in heaven. But she can't hang on. And she falls into the chasm as well. The question that someone asks in that situation is, who falls the farthest? Which one of the two falls farther than the other? The answer is that neither one made it into heaven by themselves. In Romans chapter 3, Paul spends the first 23 verses, which he summarizes in the last verse, saying, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In spite of what we might wish, a sin is a sin, and God sees all sins in the same light, or perhaps I should say darkness. So you see that if we condemn those who divorce or those who live together, we might be making an attempt to feel better about our less sinful sins, as we might perceive them to be, but they are not. And so you might be saying to yourself right now, well, okay, what's the good news here today? If we look at the text, I think we can find it. In the Old Testament, there's that wonderful story of the creation of Eve. God determines that Adam should not be by himself. And so he creates Eve out of one of Adam's ribs. He creates her to be a perfect helpmate, a counterpart, a perfect companion for her. Today we would say he created his soulmate. But then we come to the closing words of the Old Testament, which says, "And they were naked and not ashamed, and the world was perfect." The Garden of Eden was just the way God had intended it to be. But if you read on, The next verse in chapter 3 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other creature or beast of the field." And we know the outcome. We know that Adam and Eve ate the apple, and that relationship between God and man was broken, and Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, and the world has been broken ever since. In the gospel for today, the Pharisees speak of marriage as well. They go to Jesus at a gathering and they say, trying to trick him, "Is it legal for a man to divorce his wife?" Perhaps they were trying to justify their own actions. Because you see, they cleverly said, "Well, Moses said we can do that." Doesn't that sound like a human response? But Jesus responds, "Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote that commandment to you. Because you are a broken human being and this is a broken world, God, Moses gave you that commandment." In essence, he is saying that that's not how God the Father wanted this world to be. He wanted every marriage to last forever. Because we read in the next verse, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Because of that crafty serpent, the world is not the way God intended it to be. Gleeman, did you find that picture that I know? I got a post in my Facebook account a week or so ago. It was a woman that I used to work with who was lamenting the fact that she was having trouble finding a husband after she was divorced several years ago. She's had a couple, two or three significant relationships, and apparently the last one has gone by the wayside. In that post, it said something to the effect of, "I've been told that there's lots of fish in the sea. But if that's true, why does my inbox look like this? And at the bottom are pictures, four pictures of the ugliest fish you have ever seen in your life." The world is not as God intended it to be. We wonder today, what in the world is going on? The structure of society has changed. Truth is no longer universal, but kind of the belief of each person. Because of social media, people are becoming more and more tribalistic. That is, they are all joining together in people who have the same beliefs and talking in opposition to people who don't believe as they do. We are divided by generations. We are divided politically. The events of the last couple weeks prove that more than ever. And you know what? Dislike it as much as you want. Complain about it as much as you want. You can't change it. God created a perfect world in the Garden of Eden. And that's how he intended it to be. He wanted to live with his created people in harmony and love. He wanted to live with them in perfection. But when Adam and Eve ate that apple, that perfection was shattered. And the world spiraled downward into, as may be the best word, a state of dysfunction. It's broken and not to be repaired. God intended that the world function in perfect harmony, that the trials and tribulations that we experience every day would be non-existent. He planned that there would not be earthquakes or floods or fires or any of the other calamities that happen in the world today. He created a world that would only exist where there was love among people. He created a world where success would be measured by blessings and not by dollars. He wanted to have a world, he intended to have a world where every marriage lasts forever. That's what God intended. But all of those things that I just mentioned and even more still exist today. The world is broken, and some might say it's even on the brink. The consequence of all of this brokenness and dysfunction is that every person must die. And the reason for that is because God cannot stand imperfection. And so he looked at his broken world and said, there's only one way to fix this. Somehow I have to restore what I had in the Garden of Eden. Someone has to pay the price for all of this brokenness so that my people can live with me in perfection once again. And the person who paid that price had to be a perfect person, because none of us who live on this earth would be worthy of making that sacrifice and accomplishing what needed to be accomplished. And so God sent his Son to live on this world, to be part of this world, so that we might see him as we see God. He sent his Son into this broken and imperfect and sinful world so that you and I might be saved. Earlier today, we confessed that we are broken. We confessed that we are sinful by nature. We confessed our inability to change ourselves, to stop sinning. So today we're going to come to this altar, and we're going to get on our knees, and we're going to receive the body and blood, the bread and the wine of God's own Son, so that we might be forgiven and made righteous before God and have that hope of eternal life. So the world is still a painful place to live, but it's not God's fault. He made the world perfect. The problem is that we human beings broke the world. And it won't be fixed until that trumpet sound and Christ returns. In the meantime, we acknowledge our sinful condition. We come to the Lord's table asking for forgiveness and receiving that forgiveness so that we can start each time with a new and clean slate. The world is broken, but that's not how God intended it to be. It was broken long before we got here. It will be broken long after we leave. Thank God Christ came to save us all. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.